The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Good afternoon, Rolien. Ma shlomech?
Hakol beseder, ma itcha?
I am very good as well. Thank you very much. Yeah, you're saying not the newsiest of news days in Israel today, but you always make it interesting. So what's happening your side?
Well, a little bit of sad news, and news has just broken that Eitan Haber, a very, very well-known former journalist and top political aide to Yitzhak Rabin, whose assassination we will mark very, very soon, the 25th assassination of the man who was the hawk, who became the dove. He has passed away at the age of 80. If you go back to that fateful day, Eitan Haber was the official who announced Rabin's death by assassination. He was a much respected man throughout Israel's history, a top political aide. He's been, tributes have started to come in. One from opposition leader Yair Lapid, who was also a journalist before a politician, saying the words of Eitan Haber will echo in the history books for eternity. This is, of course, referring to the Rabin assassination, and that he dedicated his whole life to the fight for Israel's image. He was a man of words and vision. Israel has lost a dear man today, and he battled a serious illness for 3 years. And those of you who were watching the South African Jewish Report Sylvia Raphael webinar, which was really, really outstanding, you would have heard to Eitan Haber being referred to a few times, you know, for his service within the Israeli security apparatus. And yeah, Israel loses one of her greats, a true luminary. And may his memory be for a blessing.
Rolien, apparently Sarah Netanyahu flouted lockdown laws. Well, it seems like there's a whole queue of Israeli leadership who's done that, actually.
Naughty, naughty. Very, very, very naughty. But, you know, Sarah Netanyahu, always a controversial figure.
Yes.
But she did something that many of us would like to do, but we're respecting lockdown. She had a hairdresser come over to her residence to give her a haircut.
Okay. So that's what it was all about. Okay.
She said really? She didn't, and this was just before Sukkot, and she says, well, she didn't think she wanted to do a public service announcement. You know, she didn't know she was flouting the lockdown laws, but yeah, she had a haircut, and it's, of course, especially now in the current climate that we have facing the Prime Minister, it is very, very naughty and very, very controversial. But one thing we can be sure of, it's not Sarah, it's Yair Netanyahu, and they are keeping us entertained all the time.
Seems as if the news sources are reporting that Israel's numbers appear to be stabilizing the COVID infections at Israel.
Yes. So we have had some reports coming in from the health ministry that our numbers are stabilizing and maybe starting even to come down a little bit. And the prime minister says he's cautiously optimistic, although there are no current plans or immediate plans to start to lift the lockdown. We are expecting that the coronavirus cabinet will start meeting to discuss, you know, how they are going to exit this second lockdown. I don't think it's going to be as quickly as we exited the first. You know, we want to be very, very careful which parts of the economy we start to lift up. The hospitals are still concerned with the amount of serious condition patients that are coming in. So I don't think we're going to lift lockdown anytime soon. But what we did hear from the Prime Minister today, very interesting, is that he wants to accelerate the quick testing or the fast testing for coronaviruses in areas like the Dead Sea and Eilat, where there usually are high tourist numbers, to try and get tourism started in those areas again. So let's see how we progress. One thing that we are going to do is we're going to be very, very careful how we come out of the second lockdown. I mean, I was quite amused to see news coming in from Scotland in the last hour that Nicola Sturgeon, the Scottish leader, has appealed to bars not to serve alcohol. That's, you know, I see many countries now going into that second lockdown, trying to see how how they navigate it, you know, how they circumvent certain issues. And yeah, that's going to be very interesting to see how they, maintain selling alcohol at bars in Scotland.
Some good news coming out of the social media space. Apparently YouTube has removed Farrakhan's Nation of Islam, as well as, I think I saw earlier today, QAnon being kicked out of certain platforms due to anti-Semitism, really.
Well, it's interesting, and I've actually just written an article. It's up on my Facebook page. It's the article about when Zoom banned Leila Khaled, and it refers to also Louis Farrakhan. So go give that a read if you can. But yeah, YouTube have announced that they are banning the Louis Farrakhan's Nation of Islam on their form. And the statement that they released, they say, we have strict policies prohibiting hate on you terminate if you egregiously violate those policies after updating our guidelines last year to better address content that spreads hate or conspiracy in video, removing over 25,000 channels for violating our hate speech policies. Twitter would follow and do something about the Ayatollah al-Khamenei and some of his rampant hate speech, but that's a whole other argument. But Farrakhan's also banned from Facebook and parts of the UK's mainstream media, specifically for his homophobic comments and for his anti-Semitic comments. You know, last year he referred to us as satanic Jews and termites. So it's nice to see that the wheels of justice on social media are starting to churn and starting to move very quickly. Zoom kicked off Leila Khaled of the PFLP. She is more famous for being a terrorist who hijacked two planes. I know that she's a favored BDS poster child. They like to trot her out every now and then to fundraise. I know that Ronnie Kestrel's had some comments about that, but it looks like social media is waking up and saying, not on our platforms. And if you are going to spout any kind of repugnant hate speech, we're just going to pull you off.
What's really interesting to me is Farrakhan himself. For whatever reason, he seems to have got incredible traction amongst the elite in America. And despite his vitriolic anti-Semitic outbursts, and make no mistake, there is no room for equivocation here. He is, he's not persona non grata, and I don't understand why not.
That's an excellent question, because one of my pet hates at the moment, and I'm going to be extremely politically incorrect to people, so if, you know, feel free to send the hate mail. One of my pet hates at the moment is the virtue signaling coming from the Hollywood types, and they seem to love Farrakhan. You know, they think that, you know, in terms of race relations, that he, you know, he spouts wisdom. They don't see the irony that propagating anti-Semitism and aggression and hate speech against other minority communities is also racist. I know that we've had issues with people like Madonna and Chelsea Handler, exactly, and various, yeah, others who think that he is just simply fantastic and needs to be heard. There were famous incidents recently with Ice Cube, with Nick Cannon, and sorry for all the woke people out there, but it's time that the woke got woke, because you can't propagate hate speech against a minority community like Jewish people, the LGBTQ community, and others, and then in the same breath say that you are anti-racism and that he is some kind of expert or demigod when it comes to addressing that.
Raylene, I want to carry the issue of the Yom Kippur War and the color film over to tomorrow, and I'm going to do that because a question has come through from Hachamor saying, something I wanted to ask Raylene, does lockdown feel almost like Protective Edge or another Israeli-type war? Does it feel like that on the ground? Do you feel almost on a war footing?
Fantastic question, Hachamor. I have to tell you very honestly, and I had this conversation with a few of my friends earlier today, the second wave of lockdown is definitely much more difficult than the first. Once you've tasted that sweet freedom after months of being locked up in your home, to go back into the situation is difficult, and it does feel like a protective edge. And even though we are not running for shelter, the impact that it has on trauma, on PTSD, on, you know, our mental health is huge. And that's what I've said in the last couple of weeks. Reach out to your friends and family in Israel or in any countries that are under lockdown again, because the toll that this takes on us mentally and emotionally is much greater than the first time around. And South Africa, guys, do everything you can to avoid having to go into this situation.
Wise words, Raelene Marks. So very interesting today, as always. Look forward to chatting with you tomorrow.
You know we have a date.
We do indeed.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.